Hi, I'm Parker Green. I'm so excited to have you here today. I'm the lead pastor of Salt Church, and I'm excited to have you here today specifically because we're going to go through one of Jesus' most famous parables that I think is misused, abused, it's run around, it's used for all kinds of different reasons that Jesus maybe didn't intend. And it's going to be super helpful to you. It was super helpful to me as I was reading it this morning. And maybe give you some tips on how to just interpret all parables in general. Because a lot of times what we do with parables is take the pieces apart because of how we read scripture, we section it off, we put it in different little compartments, we put ourselves in the main character's role, like the Good Samaritan or whatever it looks like. But Jesus had a completely different point when it came to teaching parables. So we're going to go to Matthew 25 today, the parable of the talents. And that is Matthew 25 and verse 14. We're going to read through it a little bit, but I just want to give you the point. Because almost with every single parable Jesus has, he has a single point. Because he's telling people, many of them illiterate, many of them are trying to figure out life, and he's actually answering questions people are asking. A lot of times we go through the parables and we answer questions if we're pastors, preachers, leaders, whatever it looks like, and we answer questions that nobody's actually asking. And there's a really important question here that the disciples actually ask. They're wondering when Jesus is going to return, when the fulfillment of the kingdom is going to take place. And Jesus gives them a really, really good answer in multiple parables, but we're going to talk about this one specifically. So verse 14, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money." So for a little context here, banks weren't like the safest thing in the world, kind of like they are right now, to be honest. But back then, it was actually considered good stewardship to hide money in the ground because it was real wealth. It wasn't just paper money. So it would have been real, actual, tangible finance, metal money. "Now, after the long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who received the first 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Here, you have what's yours.'" You can almost see him throwing it at his feet. "But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with at least interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So a lot of people use this for an offering message. They're like, okay, now if you invest this, it's going to come back in return. Or use your gifts and talents, and they're trying to get you on some church team to invest your talents for all of eternity. And I think that's kind of hilarious. But what we need to realize about parables is that the point of a parable is the point. Let me say that again. The point of a parable is the point. It's not all the details that are actually happening in the parable. Jesus is making a singular point with this parable. And the first way you can figure that out is the context he's actually saying it in. Right after that, Jesus talks about the final judgment. Right before that, it's the parable of the 10 virgins. And right before that, he's talking about a servant and a master goes away. And the master comes back, finds the servant, beating the servants and getting drunk. And what do you think is actually going to happen to the servant in that case? What's the answer? So they ask, his disciples are asking, so what is this going to look like? Like, what's it going to look like you coming back? What's the fulfillment of the kingdom actually going to look like? And Jesus tells stories because it's too hard to describe specifically exactly what's going to happen. So he tells us the most important part about his return. And what's the most important part about Jesus' return? I don't care what your eschatology is. That means like the study of the end times. It doesn't matter. What Jesus is saying here is be ready for my return. Be ready for my return. So what you have is life. Let's call your life these talents in general. Jesus is essentially saying you've been given something. You've been given salvation. You've been given him. You've been given rulership by Jesus in your life. What Jesus is saying is that be completely prepared for his return by using the things that he has given you for eternal purposes. That's the only point. Be ready. And if you look at the parable right before, in verse 13, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." And three times in all of these stories, someone gets cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So someone's going to hell in every single one of these stories. So the expectation here in so many ways is that when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back as the judge. So he came back in the incarnation, his first incarnation, as the Savior. And he's coming back as judge. So we need to stop seeing the parable of the talents as a story of how to invest, a story of how to multiply the things that you have, but being a faithful servant to Jesus. What these men did that was most important about this whole story is that they were obedient to their master. They did what was asked of them. And what was wrong with the final servant was that he had a wrong opinion, a wrong view of who God actually was. Why? Because he didn't know him. So the most important thing in our day-to-day lives, the most important thing in every single thing that we do is to know Jesus. It's to know him. I mean, that's what Paul the Apostle says even at the end of his life. He says, I count everything as loss compared to knowing Jesus, and I want to preach the power of his resurrection, that I may know him, that I may suffer like him, so I may know him. We need to know Jesus, because if he knew who Jesus was, he wouldn't have done that with his talent. So don't waste your life on not being ready for Jesus' return. That's all this parable is about. So get ready. Hey, thanks so much for watching today's video. Make sure you like and subscribe so you get all the amazing updates and you get more content like this. We appreciate you watching. Please share with someone that needs to hear this, whether they like it or not. Bye.